to the Think Christianly podcast, where we help Christians understand what they believe, why they believe it, and why it matters. And now your host, author and speaker, Jonathan Morrow.
How do you question the Bible in a way that builds your faith? Well, in this episode of the Think Christianly podcast, I want to take kind of a little detour and talk about a brand new resource that I'm really excited about. And it's the new book that I've written called Questioning the Bible, 11 Major Challenges to the Bible's Authority. And what I want to do is I want to ask kind of an interesting question is, can and should Christians question the Bible? Now, my answer is yes. Now, so that I can explain myself, I'll come back to that later. And I'll also share about a special 35% off promo code about how you guys in my Think Christianly audience can get a discount on the book that's special for you guys. But before I get there, what I want to do is talk a little bit about how we got here and why I wrote this book. So I guess you could say that this book's been about 19 years in the making. You know, I came to Christ as a junior in high school. I was 17. And I was a new Christian, you know, and then I get to college, and I'm really trying to live my life for God. I'm trying to take my faith seriously. And I was involved with campus ministry at a large state school, was sharing the gospel with people, was in a small group. I was learning to study the Bible. To this day, my favorite book of the Bible is still 2 Timothy. You know, the great passage in there, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and correction and training in righteousness. And it's just such a powerful passage. It's always been really important to me. But there I was in college, and I was growing in my faith. And then I decided, hey, you know what? This semester, I'm going to take a Bible as literature class. And, you know, I was like, well, what could be better, right? I mean, I can get, you know, course credit for studying the Bible. You know, I thought it'd be a great idea. Only problem was I was simply not prepared for what I encountered in that class. I was honestly introduced to questions that I'd never even really considered before. You know, questions like, what about other forms of Christianity that existed in the first few centuries? And what about all these gospel contradictions? And how do we know that the text is what it's supposed to be today, that it wasn't corrupted over time like a bad version of the telephone game we all played when we were kids, you know? Or lost gospels, or then there's all those uncomfortable moral issues related to the Bible. You know, you've got polygamy in the Bible. You've got these passages that seems to be endorsing slavery and possible questions of genocide and all this stuff going on back there. And honestly, I was like, wow, I've never encountered any of this stuff before. You know, and so it kind of sent me spinning a little bit, and I was looking for answers to these questions. You know, and by God's grace, I really did seek to try to kind of dig in and try to find some answers to these questions. And I would order lectures and read books and all that kind of stuff. And I would explore these questions because what I was doing was trying to figure out, okay, was I basing my life on a lie? I mean, is scripture really from God, or is it just honestly the enlightened thoughts of human beings? And what do we do with that, you know? And what I felt during this time was one of the main reasons I wrote this book and one of the main reasons I want to share this with you, and I'm so excited about this, but I felt a couple of different emotions during this season of life. I felt fear that I was wrong. What if I found something out that I didn't want to find? Maybe you can identify with that. You know, and that was pretty striking, you know. And I look back, if I had not come to a place of real confidence that this really was the Word of God, I honestly think I would have walked away from my faith because I didn't want to believe in fairy tales. It's not what I was signing up for. And so the second emotion that I experienced, and what I hope you as readers will experience when you read Questioning the Bible, is relief and freedom and confidence. This idea that, you know what, we can investigate Christianity in the Bible with our eyes wide open. It stands up to scrutiny, that all these slogans and sound bites that we so often hear, they really just don't hold up once you start peeling away and examining the evidence. And I really came to the conviction that Christianity was true, that Jesus was a real historical person who existed, who made these claims, who rose from the dead, and that these books are the very words of God. You know, and so it's just, so that is why I wrote this book. And I really want you to experience this kind of confidence, because back to what I said in the intro there, I want people to question the Bible, not so they'll end up in this place of skepticism, but so that they'll end up in a place of confidence. You know, that there's a confident faith on the other side of questioning, because it's really not a matter of if, but when your faith and trust in the Bible will be challenged. And so, are you going to be in an environment where you've got some answers, some people around you who can help you think through these issues? Because an untested faith, when those crises come, or when those questions come, or your friends share something on Facebook, or you see a video on YouTube, or there's an article in the New York Times, or there's a Discovery Channel special, or whatever it is, and it plants those little seeds of doubt, over time, our faith can erode, and our confidence can decrease. And we miss out on this idea that God really has spoken in His Word, in the Bible, and that we can trust it about the biggest questions and issues of life. And so that's why I'm so passionate about questioning the Bible, the message that it is, and hopefully how it can help you, because I want people to question the Bible, not again to lead to skepticism, but so that their faith, so that your faith can be strengthened like a muscle that needs to be worked out. After it kind of, we stretch it, we tear it a little bit, we build it so it's stronger in the future. That's what we want our faith to be, is a confident faith where we understand why behind the what. And that's so critical. But I do want to share just a little bit about this special cultural moment that we inhabit right now, because in some ways, what we're encountering right now in our culture is a perfect storm. Now, a perfect storm is when certain meteorological factors coalesce, they come together, and you've got these normal storms that would be bad in and of themselves, but then when they all kind of come together in the same place and the same time, they produce something far more powerful than what they each individually could have produced in and of themselves. And so what I see right now as I teach students, as I travel around the country, as I work with students in our gap year program and our summer immersion experience at Impact 360 and other things like that, is this idea that there's three main factors that are happening. First is this: the growing and increasing secularization of our culture. And what I mean by that is kind of the absence of God, anything spiritual. There is no such thing as moral and spiritual knowledge anymore. Faith is against reason. You can only know things that are in the hard sciences. The upper story, in the lower story, as Francis Schaeffer used to talk about. So you've got this idea of truth that's really in our culture available only in the hard sciences. So therefore, the Bible, religion, moral things like that, those are not subjects of knowledge. So therefore, when it comes to the Bible, people just go, well, that might be an opinion. It's a preference. It's a flavor of ice cream. It's, you know, I like chocolate, you like strawberry, whatever it might be. But it's not something we can know. For knowledge, we need to stay in the hard sciences. And that's a false assumption. And I challenge that in the book. But that's the first background factor that's operating for people. The second is there's kind of this growing trend of an anti-institutional mindset. This is especially true for the millennials and those under 30, that they've just seen so many scandals and people in power who are corrupt and who have abused power, and there's scandals in the church or in corporations or whatever it might be, priests, pastors stealing money, things like that. And so there's kind of this educational institutions, whatever it may be, there's this distrust, generally speaking, of authority. And so how does that relate to Christianity and the Bible? Well, if Christianity is an institution, what's the main book of the institution of Christianity? Well, it's the Bible. And so there's this growing distrust for kind of this traditionalist kind of view of the Bible kind of thing. So that's the second factor in these factors of perfect storms. And the third is there's a growing and increasing attacks of sophistication on the Bible, on the origins, the credibility, the reliability of the Bible. So, you know, there were multiple Christianities. No one knows which books are supposed to be in the Bible. Those were voted on, you know, 300 or 400 years later. How do we know that miracles can exist? And who really wrote the books of the Bible? Some of the authors lied about them. You know, there's these sophisticated attacks that are showing up not in dusty philosophical journals or theological libraries, but they're showing up on the news. They're getting published in the Wall Street Journal. They're getting published at CNN.com and all these other places and show up in our friends' Facebook status where we're like, oh, wow, that's right there. And I'm presented with a challenge to my faith that I may not be prepared to handle. So you've got this increasing amount of attacks. There's kind of this general distrust of authority and anti-institutional mindset and this growing secularization where, you know what, there really isn't such a thing as spiritual and moral knowledge. And all those factors taken together really have produced a unique cultural situation and climate in which we try to read the Bible today. And that's why I'm so excited about this resource that really has been a lot of years in the making, because it's all the questions and ideas and doubts and investigation, a lot of that kind of stuff I tried to boil down into kind of 11 major challenges to the Bible's authority so that I could kind of share in one place a little bit of my journey and my story and some evidence that hopefully encourages you in your faith a little bit. And here are some of the questions that I tackled in the book. You know, is the Bible anti-intellectual? I mean, do you have to check your brains at the door? Is biblical faith blind faith? That kind of stuff. You know, what can we really know about the historical Jesus? I talk about that. Did he ever exist? How do we know that? What about how do we know what the earliest Christians believed? You know, are there lost gospels or why were some banned from the Bible? Those kind of questions. What about did the biblical writers lie about their identity? Are these books forged? You know, has the biblical text been corrupted and changed over the centuries? And are there contradictions in the Bible? And isn't the Bible at odds with science? Isn't it unscientific? I mean, you know, we've all read places in the Bible that make us a little uncomfortable, and we try to, it's like, what's going on here? Is the Bible sexist, racist, homophobic, genocidal? You know, how about interpretations? How can there be one just true interpretation when so many people disagree? And then how do we make the case for the Bible as the Word of God in a way that's not begging the question, that doesn't assume that the Bible is the Word of God before we make the argument? You know, these are just some of the questions that I talk about in this book. And so I'm really excited about this book. I was able to publish it with Moody Publishers, and they've been generous enough to give us a discount code for me to offer you. And I'll have a link at the website at thinkchristianly.org in our blog post in the show notes for this podcast. And there'll be a link there, but your special code that you'll be able to use with Moody Publishers is QTB35. And again, I'll have links in the show notes for you to be able to get to Moody Publishers' website to get that special deal for you using that code. And again, I hope that this book, Questioning the Bible, gives you confidence. I hope you're able to use it in a small group or take your youth group through it or have conversations with your family or your kids about how and why we can trust the Bible. And so I hope this is something that you find encouraging. I'm really excited about it. It's a tool. It's accessible. I put summaries at the end of each chapter, three big ideas at the end of each chapter. It's not a very long book, but at the same time, I deal honestly and hope substantively with these questions and issues that I want you to be able to engage and have some insight on. And so also, I want to remind you that I speak on these topics. So if your group or church or seminar or a men's retreat or whatever it is wants to go deeper on some of these issues related to questioning the Bible, you can contact us through thinkchristianly.org and invite me out to speak to your group. Well, that's it for this episode of the Think Christianly podcast. I just want to thank you again for subscribing and listening, and I appreciate that. Share this if it's been helpful to you. I appreciate you sharing that on Facebook or Twitter. And I just want to remind you that every new day is an opportunity to think Christianly. We'll see you next time.
Think Christianly, because all of life is connected.